Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center.
So the title of my message this morning is Q&A with God. Q&A with God, which means questions and answers with God. We're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29, but basically the whole end of chapter 8, which is 26, verse 26 to 39. So it's pretty amazing technology today, where we can do face-to-face time with somebody in another country, in another area of this country, another continent. We have this thing called Skype. We have these wonderful things on our phone, right? We can see people's faces. Technology is absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Amen.
And I work with a company that does this a lot. They have this thing called a webinar. Anybody know what a webinar is?
Oh, yeah.
Some of you folks do. A webinar is really what it is. It's a presentation done at one location. And through the internet, other people can view that presentation from any other spot that's not in that location. So somebody's been doing something in the West Coast, making a presentation, and you can see it in the East Coast. You can see it in the Midwest. You can see it in any state. It's a wonderful tool. So what happens now is in business, people do webinars a lot. Amen. And we want to do some webinars with Uganda, our pastor in Uganda, when he gets all set up with his computer over there, right? Amen. So we can communicate. But webinars are a wonderful tool because a presenter can present his presentation and other people can view it. But what I've noticed about webinars is that when it's given, there's always a chat function or a question and answer function. And what I've noticed in business is that the facilitator before the presentation starts says, hold all the questions and type them in. Okay? And at the end of the presentation, we'll go through the questions. And a lot of times, after an hour and a half presentation, you don't want to sit there for another half an hour and go through every question, right? You want to go home and leave, right? Amen. But I think it seems like that's really what's going on in the book of Romans. Why did I bring this up? Because Paul has presented a lot of information to us, right? In chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and now 8. A lot of information has been given to us. A lot of things have been presented. A lot of doctrinal truths have been presented to us. Because at the end of chapter 8, Paul really goes into questions and answers. So he must feel that his audience, the Roman people that are getting this letter or for people communicating with him, have questions about certain things he's been teaching. So Paul does this. He addresses, we'll look at this today, seven spiritual questions the Roman believers had. And that's why I'm titling my message, Q&A with God. And these are the questions that are presented at the end of chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. And this will be basically my points in this message, and it's going to be seven. So this is not a three-point message. This is a seven-point message. It's a lot of information, but it'll go smooth, brothers and sisters. Amen? So the questions we might have for God that's laid out in Romans is, how do we pray? Is one. And that's Romans 8, 26 to 27. A question for God is, what's your plan for me? Or what's your plan for my life? That's Romans 8, 28 to 30. Addresses that. Are you against me? People ask God. That's Romans 8, 31. Look at that. Are you holding back from me? Romans 8, 32. Am I made right, God? Or am I still missing something? Romans 8, 33. Are you condemning me? Romans 8, 34. And will you always love me? Romans 8, 35 to 39. Now I'm going to read chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, and open our service in prayer. And if you have, follow along in your Bibles. This is the NASB version. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Let's bow our heads and open the service in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. Wonderful truths we've seen in the book of Romans, Paul penned inspired by you to us. It is my prayer today that we clear out any confusion we may have today about who you are, how to pray to you, what your plan is for our life, and what you want from us, Lord. This is one thing, is you want us to depend on you for life. I thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. I thank you for your love. Help us to learn. Help us understand these great truths today in Romans chapter 8. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, since I've been going through Romans, I bring this up every week, and I bring this up, and what is the gospel? Do you think we know what the gospel is by now? Amen. What is the gospel? Really clearly, what is it? There's a lot of confusion in Christian circles about what it is, right? Give your heart to God. Do this, do that, receive Him. Well, you know what it is, plainly and simply? It's 1 Corinthians, spelled out in Scriptures, 15 and 3 to 4 says this, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and then He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." So the gospel is simply this. God died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ was resurrected. When we believe that, we have eternal life and we have spiritual life. The gospel is God's offer of spiritual life back to man, amen? To restore us back to the way we were from the garden, amen? And that's what the world needs, amen? The gospel, you need to hear the gospel, you need to receive the gospel. It's Christ plus nothing, it's all Him. Don't let anybody confuse you with it's something added to Christ, because it is not, amen? But that is the gospel. And this whole book of Romans, Paul's talking about this. What's underneath the gospel? So many things, right? For example, it's the power of salvation, Romans 1, 16, 17. You know, it's about God's grace, Romans 2, 4. Paul talked about all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3. We can't measure up to God's perfect, holy standard. We need another way, and that way is this man, Jesus Christ, died for us in our place, for our sins. We looked at this guy, Abraham, right? Oh, what about Abraham, the Old Testament prophet, right? It was credited to him righteousness by faith, looking forward to the cross. Amen. Romans 5:17. In Adam, all have sinned. You know, we are born into this world in sin and in spiritually dead, and we need a Savior. That's our condition. This idea of being in Adam, that's our spiritual condition, which is that dead spirit. Romans 6:5, we are united with Him. Such important truth. We are united with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection. Believe that? Romans 6 is an awesome passage in the Bible that a lot of times we miss. We don't study. And then in Romans 6, 12 to 13, we talked about offering ourselves to God. Remember that? Offer ourselves to Him. Present ourselves to Him as a way to grow and as a way to Him He works in our life. That's what He wants us to offer ourselves to Him so He can work in our lives. Romans 7:4, wonderful, I love it. We died to the law, remember that? We died to the law and we've been joined to another. That one is Jesus Christ, amen? We are joined to Him to bear fruit for God. The fruit comes from Him through you, amen? That verse is a home run verse. Study it, memorize it, circle it in your Bibles, amen? And in chapter 7, we talked about, you know, the things I don't want to do, I do, and the things I do, I don't want to do. Why? Because I'm trying to live the Christian life by law. That's why. Or I'm trying to live the Christian life depending on my flesh. That's why. Or I'm living the Christian life with an unrenewed mind. That's why. That's the struggle there, brothers and sisters. We looked at that. Remember Romans 8, 6. The mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. That's what you want. Set your mind on Him. Right? And then last week we looked at, 2 weeks ago, Romans 8, 16. The wonderful verse. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, testifies to our human spirit what? We are a child of God, amen? We are a child of God, and that's how the Spirit testifies to our human spirit of our identity in Christ, and that's one aspect of that, we're a child of God. All these wonderful, wonderful truths up till now. But then in Romans 8, 17, beginning of that to 25, Paul introduces this idea of suffering. Remember, look at that 2 weeks ago? And he says that as a Christian, the way we're suffering today in this world is nothing that can be compared to when Christ comes back. That's ultimately the one most wonderful experience we can ever have, right? He's coming back. We will suffer in this age, amen? But He's coming back. Nothing compares to Him coming back. Now we come to this point, Romans 8, 26 to 27. which talks about the question one is, how do we pray? How do we pray? This is connected to suffering. This is connected to not understanding situations in life. Because right after the passage on suffering, he talks about prayer. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What is this thing? The Holy Spirit is doing this one thing. It's interceding for us when we pray, amen? When we don't know how to pray, when we're groaning and not understanding how to verbalize our prayer, amen? That's what he's there for. That's one function of the Holy Spirit. In times of suffering, in times of confusion, we don't know how to pray. Have you ever been that way? You just cry. Or you say, Lord, I don't know. That's, the Spirit knows. He intercedes. He's intervening on your behalf, communicating your request to God. Amen? So, he's working. He's interceding. He indwells us. That's the Holy Spirit. But if we go back a little bit, verse 8, 22, talk about this groaning again. What's this thing about groaning? It says, for we know that the whole creation groans. So Paul said, the creation's groaning for Christ to return. And back a couple of verses. In 8, 23, he says, and not only this, but ourselves also, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, redemption of our body. We even, it says, groan within ourselves, waiting for Christ to return. Amen? Now, what is this groaning? Okay? It's a deep, inarticulate sound in response to pain or despair. That word is a word connected with despair and suffering. If you look at that word groan in the New Testament, it's always connected, or in Old Hebrew, it's always connected to some type of suffering. So we're confused, suffering. In some case, we don't know why. We can go to him and the Spirit will intercede for us, amen, intervene on our behalf to tell God what our prayer is, amen. But you know, I think a lot of us, in our first church, I can tell you, thought we really couldn't pray until we were, I'm going to call it a prayer, my word, prayer specialist, right? We had a gentleman in our first church, amen, Lord knows, and he would sit in a circle, we would pray, and he would break out, 1600 English, King James English. I said, brother, what are you saying, man? I don't speak that way anymore. You don't have to speak in a special, King James language to God. He knows, he intercedes, brothers and sisters, okay? You don't have to cross every, dot every I and cross every T when we pray. You know, even if we're not groaning in despair, the Spirit intercedes for us to the Father. So how do we pray? Very simply, we go to the Father and we let the Spirit intercede when we can't verbally express our request. Amen? It's that simple. He knows. He knows. Sometimes I just don't know what to pray. I said, Lord, you know. You know. You know. But we need to pray. Prayer is so important. Amen? Prayer is so powerful. Amen? Look at this gentleman prayed from Uganda for how long? 10 years. 10 years to come to this country, right? And he came, and the Lord answered that prayer. Amen? Where's there a lot of power in prayer? Amen, brother? Amen. And how many people have you met? And how many pastors have you connected with? How many? It's amazing what God can do. He listens, he understands, and he answers our prayer. It's amazing. We need to pray. And I think some of the most important prayers for us is, God, reveal yourself to me. You know, we had dinner that last night with a gentleman who was a non-believer. Actually, I think he's an atheist. He was a friend of a friend we had with. And he said, I don't believe in God. I take care of myself. I did everything myself my whole life. He's like 60, late 65. I don't need God. God's not real. I said, brother, God is real. I want you to pray for God to reveal himself to you, and he will. He said, I'll try. So pray for this gentleman. Pray for this gentleman. Just don't give you his name. Say, I pray that this guy, the whole church, let's pray for this man, that he would know and God will reveal himself and his need for Jesus Christ. You know what? When we sin, we should pray. You know what? Why am I sinning? Nobody ever asked that. We always say, please, I don't want to sin, Lord. But why do I sin? There's always a reason. You know, somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, pray for me, I have anxiety. And I said, I'll pray for you, for your anxiety. But really, to help you, you have to know why you're anxious. There's a truth you're missing about Jesus Christ, his sovereignty for perhaps, that he is in control of all things. If you rest in that, you won't be anxious, amen? Amen. It goes back one step, but yes, why am I sinning? Why am I having anxiety? Why, Lord? There's a truth we're missing, amen? And I'm going to add another one. How about this? Lord, who can I share with the gospel this week? Who can you put in my path that I can share with this week? God's always got a person in line for you to share with, amen? But we need to pray. We need to pray. God hears our prayers. If we sin, he does not never hear our prayers. He always hears it. There's no barrier between you and him, amen? And if you don't know how to verbalize what he's saying, the Spirit intervenes, amen? With groan. If you're groaning and you don't know, you're in despair, he intervenes, amen? We have an awesome God who is a powerful and answers prayer, amen? You can never lose that connection. I want you to know that, amen? Second question. What's your plan for me, God? Or what's your plan for my life? Romans 8, 28 to 30 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Okay, brothers and sisters, I want two takeaways from these verses. Now, there's a lot of discussion, theological debates on these verses. I'm not going to get into that whole thing right now about predestination. Amen. But I will say this, that the two takeaways from this is God causes all things to work together for good. Rest in that. That is such an important truth. And second, God orchestrates life, your life, to conform you to the image of Christ, which is to be conformed to the image of his Son. So that is the plan for you and for your life in general is this. God working out all things and God orchestrating life to conform you into Christ's image. That's what he is doing. That's his plan, amen? When you call on him and receive him, that's his plan, to conform you. You know what? Everything works together. But you know what? A lot of times in my life, I say, you know what? Things don't seem to be working together. Horrible things. Loss of job. Illnesses. All these things. You know what? But when I look back, I understand and realize there was always a purpose in that. Amen? God always worked it out for good, amen? I might not understood it then, but I understand it 10 years later, 5 years later, 20 years later. It's a mystery. It's a mystery, but God works out all things. My plan, for me, isn't your plan. There's no cookie-cutter plan. Just remember that. There's no cookie-cutter plan for God, except the fact he works out and causes all things to work together for good. Rest in it. Understand it. Ask God to explain to you why these things are happening so he will reveal these things and show you these things, okay, man? It might be years later, you know? I've had a lot of things over the years happen to me. As a matter of fact, illness. We had an illness years ago, 10 years ago, Lyme disease. I don't know why I got Lyme disease, and my wife did too. Horrible disease, guys. You can't think. You can't, you basically been brain fog. You can't function. Why did I get it? I don't know, Lord. But I'm pretty much cured now. I'm almost 100%. But God showed me, you know what? Through that disease, you have to have compassion on people who have disease. Right? And maybe there's another ministry. It's interesting. Several people in this church have gotten Lyme disease, and their relatives have gotten Lyme disease. Why is it? I don't know, Lord, but I know something. Maybe it's a ministry in Lyme disease. Support, prayer, groups, meetings, whatever. There's something there. But you know what? God works out all things. I didn't think so 10 years ago. I thought I was going to go be with the Lord. Amen? Amen. And it wasn't until the brothers of our church, amen, prayed for me, and we had an answer of a doctor to treat me. Amen. That's an answer to prayer. But you know what? He worked out all things. But you know what? There's a second point, part to that. You're being conformed to the image of Christ. That is God's plan for every one of us. He's no cookie-cutter plan for you or no cookie-cutter plan for me. It's basically his plan to conform you. Now, what does that mean? You know what? It's God revealing truths about himself to you and waiting for you to believe them is one part, and trusting in them. God is continually revealing truths from Scripture, from messages, from other believers to you, and He's saying, do you believe them? You know what? Last week, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the Spirit testifies to our spirit, we are children of God. Do you believe you are a child of God? Yes or no? He's saying, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you trust me? That's one part, renewing the mind. But then He's also exposing this thing called flesh, which is self-dependence, right? Living my life out of my own resources. God doesn't want you to live off out of your own resources and your own dependence. God wants you to depend on Him as your new source. Amen? That I believe, guys, you know what? When a person receives Jesus, that should be the first thing they're taught. The first thing they're taught, brother, is to rely on Him as a source of life. Not all this other stuff, which is not wrong, but they don't know how to live from the new source. Conforming you to the image of Christ is you depending on Him as your source to live life. Total dependence. But then there's always an argument from others that'll say, I'm actually conforming myself to the image of Christ. No, you're not. You cannot conform yourself in self-effort or law or rules to the image of Christ. That's only modifying your flesh and your behavior. God can only change you from the inside out when you depend on Him as your source. That is the key to ministry. That is the key to church moving forward, because when we do it the other way, there's no power. There's no power in the Holy Spirit in your life or in the life of your ministry or in the life of your leaders, man. They need the resource is God, amen. But that's being conformed to the image, total dependence. God wants to express Himself through you that way. All the progress there in your life depends on one thing, and that's this, faith and trust. It's as simple as that. Faith and trust, it's as simple as that. Do you trust God or do you trust yourself? Right? Do you trust His promise or you don't trust His promise? It all comes down to if you trust. Do you believe? But God, because He gave us a free will never force you to make a choice on Him. No, He will not. But He will let you experience the horrible, unsatisfying consequences of those choices to make you realize life is not there, it's in Christ. Dependence on Christ. So you know what? I can't argue a man into heaven, amen? I can't argue a brother or sister of Christ to depend on Him. I can just say, you want that? Go that path, amen. But your answer is not going to be down that rabbit trail. Your answer is Jesus Christ. And they will eventually find out. And it might be at 30, it might be at 50, it might be at 70, it might be at 80. But there's going to be a time when they realize that, amen? We're all in progress. We're all in process. But more dependence means more conformity. More conformity means more expression of Christ. Okay? Total dependence. And the only best verse we could say is to think of this, is having this attitude like Jesus had before He went to the cross. Luke 22:42 says, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. That's depending on Christ. That's surrendering your life to Christ. That's saying, God, I give up my rights. You run my life. Not my will, but your will. Have you said that? Have you thought about that? That's what God wants. That's conforming you to me. He's getting you. He's pointing always to that. Amen. You know what? That's His plan. His plan is to conform you to His image. That's His plan. And express Himself through you in a wonderful way. And I can say this. That's an exciting way to live, and that's an exciting future ahead of you when you do that, amen? Amen. God's got some wonderful things. Look what He's doing, amen? Look what He's doing, amen? Amen? So many wonderful things in this church. God's got a plan, and that's His plan. What's your choice? Trust Him, believe in Him, depend on Him. Okay, third question. Are you against me? Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Now, why did you throw this in? Well, you know what? Suffering, confusion, circumstances. Well, you know what? You say, God is for me, then how come all this stuff is against me? Have you been there? Why am I suffering? Things don't seem to be going good. Okay? I'm going to settle it right now. I'm going to tell you, this verse says, God is never against you. Amen? But there are consequences to making wrong choices. There's consequences to sin. You know what? You could be under the influence of another person's sin. Right? Others sin against you. There's fallout from sin. We live in a fallen world, you know? It's horrible. You know what? If you live in a family that has alcoholism, sins of the alcoholism affects the children, amen? Right? They didn't do anything wrong. Is God against them? No. It's a fallout of sin from somebody else, amen? But the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is God is not against you. Okay? So who is against us? Who is against us? I'm going to tell you who's against us. You are against yourself.
Yeah.
That's the truth. You are against yourself. It's the who of who is against you is yourself. This sounds funny, doesn't it? I'm against myself when I choose dependence on myself. Think about that. Mm-hmm. I'm against myself when I choose dependence on myself. And the evil one's right there with the devil and his demons making you do that. Tempted you to do that. Making ungodly choices. Why aren't you telling you, God can never give you peace. You can't depend on him. He'll never come through. You know what? This is the reason. Who's against us is the evil one plus yourself choosing to not depend on Christ. That's what it is. God isn't against you. Okay? But we don't depend on God. We're suffering the consequences of being against ourselves because we're wrestling in self-dependence and not in him. You know what? It really comes down to who you trust in, who you depend on. Amen? Romans 8:32, fourth question. Are you holding back from me? He who did not spare his own son, but deliver him over for us, how will he also not freely give us all things? He not also with him freely give us all things. You know, God has given us a wonderful gift, Jesus Christ. A wonderful spiritual life. In Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we have spiritual life. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift. He's freely given us that by faith. But we seem, when we're living life, we don't seem to freely be getting all things, right? We think we're missing something, or we think God owes us something. But I can tell you this. You have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ first. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, I can say this. As a Christian, as he's conforming to his image, and working out all things, you are discovering more things about what you have in Christ. Amen? The whole book, the first three chapters of Ephesians, all what you have in Christ. You have a lot in Christ. Amen? Spiritual life, child of God, redeemed, reconciled. I can name a lot of different terms. That's what you have in Jesus Christ. He didn't hold those back from you. You have them. You just need to discover what you have. But what about the physical world, you know? And I can say this, God is not holding back, but we want certain things. We think we want certain things. But God is saying, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm not going to give you what you want. Amen? That's the point. Right? I want this. No, God said, no, you can have this. Amen. And I've seen it in my life, on and off through the years, brothers and sisters. You know what? God has given me times where I have struggled, meaning financially, all this stuff, and it's times where I have abundance. And God is there every time. Amen? He says, you don't need that right now. Because if he gave me that back then, I wouldn't be doing this what I'm doing today. Amen? I'd be off on some rabbit trail pursuing money maybe, right? Pursuing materialism. No. He said, I'm not giving you what you need. Trust me. You know, man, after all these years, now I'll give you more of abundance. Amen? He's not holding back. God is not holding back. Philippians 4:19. And God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. He meets all the needs. What a wonderful verse. But what a way the devil twists that. God will supply all your needs. You know what? God will never meet your core need, especially love, right? God will never love you, he puts it in your mind. God will never meet your physical need. He won't give you shelter and food. No. The devil tries to make us think that not. You know what? He won't give you spirit. He'll meet your spiritual need. You know what? God will supply and provide all our needs. He is our need meter. It's a funny name, need meter. It's him. It's not other people. It's him. Go to him. God isn't holding back. He freely gives us all things we need, not what we want in the physical world. He's given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Pray that God will show you what you already have in Him. Amen? All right. Question 5. Am I made right? Or am I still missing something? Romans 8:33. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Now this seems like a kind of an interesting verse, right? Who is the one who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's elect is another word, a way of saying a Christian or a child of God. Who is the one who will bring a charge against a Christian? You know? But then it says God is the one who justifies. So what he's saying here is God is the one who declares you righteous by faith. God is the one who justifies you by faith. We saw that in Romans 3, right? So somebody in this verse, and we don't know who it is bringing a charge against the child of God that, it seems to me, that they are not justified, or they are not righteous, and that something is missing in their life. Okay? He's saying, somebody's putting in your ear, somebody's talking and saying, you know what? By faith, in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, I'm righteous and justified. Somebody is saying, who's going to bring a charge against that person? And saying, no, you're not. Who could that be? It could be ourselves. It could be an unbeliever. We could be believers who mix law and grace. What a horrible mess that is. Bro, you're not saved because you didn't do this. Wait a second, I have faith. It doesn't matter, you got to do this. Where does it say that in the Bible? I don't know. But that's what we've been doing for the last 2,000 years in tradition. Amen. Tradition's horrible, brothers and sisters. The church, I got to tell you, the older I get, I realize the church has twisted the gospel. The church has twisted living by faith. It's the same faith for salvation. It's the same faith for living the Christian life. Why have they interjected all these things? Okay? Christian rules and procedures. You know what? You know, you're not elect. You're not saved. You're not justified because you don't do the Christian rules and procedures. Time out. Where's that in the Bible? Can't find out. Amen. You know the story I told maybe many times here. We went to a Saturday night. Well, we didn't go one time. We were in one church. We had a Saturday night potluck. And I was a young man with young kids around your age, brother. And I said, I can't go. I'm so tired. I'm going to stay with my wife and my 3 kids. I came to church the next day, and the pastor of that church said, where were you last night? And I said, I was so tired. I wanted to stay home with my wife and children. And he said to me this, and Lord, I doubt you're saved. Right? Mm-hmm. I doubt you're saved. Mm-hmm. So time out. I have faith. Why are you adding in? I have to do that to be saved. That's what the churches do, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Many churches, not all, many. That is not grace. That is all law-based, old covenant, mixed living, and manipulation of people. That's what that is. There's no Christian rules and procedures. You know what the rule is? Go to God, offer yourself to Him, be led by the Holy Spirit. That's a good rule, amen? But the world system, the flesh, the devil, is trying to convince us and charge us that we're not right with God. And we are right. We are righteous, amen? We maintain that Romans 8:28, a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law, Christian law, Jewish law, whatever law you want to stick in there, they all try it, and it's a mess. It's a mess. But we're not like that here, brothers and sisters. And we're not going to be like that in your Laganda. We're not going to be like that in Russia. We're going to change it all, brother. It's about grace.
That's right.
You know what? So who are the people? You know, these people look at a Christian and they say, you're not this, you're not that, you didn't add this. I charge you with not being justified because you're not doing whatever it is. That's a lie from the devil. Don't believe it. You are right with God. If you have faith in His death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, you are righteous. You know what? We are made right. By faith. Justified by faith. Some will charge, we're not. They push an era of law, works, Christian rules, and I'm going to throw in baptism. Baptism doesn't save you, brothers and sisters. It's a profession of faith. Fill in the blank, they have something, they'll give to you and say, you're not this because you didn't do this. Amen. Mm-hmm. Commitment, whatever word you want to use, that's all a lie from the devil. You are made righteous by Christ in faith in Him. That is it. Amen. 6th question. Are you conforming? Are you condemning me? It's funny. I preached about that over the summer. I remember this brother from worship was here, and that came up again. Are you condemning me? Remember that? Are you condemning me? This came up in your last time. Romans 8:34. Who is the one who condemns? Another who? Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised. We got the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who is the one who condemns? Sometimes we feel condemned, but is it justified? Condemned means to feel guilty, to be sentenced to punishment, and have a strong disapproval of. Well, you know what? I can tell you straight right up. There is no, in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? There is no condemnation. I'm not being condemned by God. Right? There's no condemnation. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Jesus Christ, and actually sitting with him in the heavenlies. So who's condemning? Who's doing this condemning? There's only one. Evil one. Demons. Satan. Whatever. Demonic activity are putting thoughts in our minds. And I got to tell you, he can put a thought in your mind. And when you take it and say, yes, it's true, that becomes your thought. That's how it works. You know. You know that prayer ministry, right? He's trying to stick a mock thing in there saying, you're no good, you're this, you're that. I said, no way, man, that's not true. Right? Get away from me, devil. It's not true. Right? He puts a thought in there, and we take it, it becomes our thought. You know what? There's demonic, spiritual war, unbelievably going on, that's trying to prevent grace from being understood, and our identity in Christ, and our identification with Christ. He does not want to be known, because there's power in the church, and there's power in individuals when we do that, right? And we know that, amen? You know what? So how do we overcome that? You know what? By God, saying, God, I know I'm not condemned. What am I missing? What truth am I missing? Tell me, reveal it to me, show me the scriptures, and I have to believe it and rest in it. And then you know, I don't feel condemnation after that anymore, brothers and sisters. God doesn't condemn. We're a child of God. He loves us, accepts us, guides us. Condemnation from the evil one only comes from him. And God's truth dispels condemnation. And the last one. This is the no-brainer one, right? Will you always love me, God? Romans 8:35-39. You know what? For us who've been a Christian a long time, we know the answer to that, right? Some people that are new believers don't. Some people don't even know Christ, don't. You need to know. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Romans 8:35. 8:39, 38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nobody? The answer is who? The answer is no one. No one will ever separate you from the love of God. You know, if you sinned walking out this door today, God still loves you, right? You make a mistake, God still loves you. He's sitting there with open arms saying, I love you with agape love. Come to me. I'm your answer. Depend on me. I'm your source. I've forgiven all your sins, past, present, and future. Right? That's past, present, and future, amen? It's not just the past and nothing in the future. It's all sin. Some people have a hard time with that. Right? Does that mean I can keep sinning just because I'm forgiven? No, we don't want to sin because we love God. But you know what? God, Christ will always love us. He's waiting with open arms to embrace us. This will never change, and nobody can separate you from the love of God. And I thought about this today, yesterday, before this message, and preparing. We don't obey God to be loved. Right? Like the human father, a human person. We love God, and then we obey. Think about that. We don't obey to be loved. He loves us. But when we understand his love, we obey. Our character, our behavior, we express Christ. That's what he wants. So many questions here in Romans 8, and in Romans 8, conclusion, the conclusion here. Have you learned something today? Amen. Are there any other questions you might have? Amen. Well, you know what? I can't answer more from this point. I can answer maybe off on the side. But you know what? Go to God in prayer and say, God, I have this question for you. He will reveal it to you. There's nothing wrong with the Holy Spirit revealing. People think, oh, I can't do that. Yes, you can. The Spirit can testify to your spirit. Amen. He teaches you. He reveals to you. So how do I pray? Well, you know what? Sometimes I don't know how to pray. The Spirit intercedes. Amen. God, what's your plan for me? He's conforming you to His image. That's the plan. Do you believe it? Do you trust it? Do you depend on Him? You know, are you against me? No, God's not against you. People sinning may be against you. You're full out of their sin. But you know who's against you? Against you? You. You choose to depend on yourself. That's what it is. Are you holding back from me? No, God holds nothing back. You have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You are made right. Am I made right? Am I still missing something? No, you're made right by faith. Plain and simple. Are you condemning me? No, Lord, it's not condemning you. The evil one's condemning you with thoughts. It's dispelled with truth. Will you always love me? Yes, He will always love you. Amen. You know what? That's a wonderful end of chapter 8, is it not? Amen, brothers and sisters? God, in summary, God, finally, conclusion. God wants you to depend on Him in all things. That's His plan. God's got every answer, every question you may have. Go to Him in prayer and ask Him, and He will give you the answer. Amen? I'm going to close this in prayer, and we're going to sing our last song. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for the Scriptures again, these wonderful verses, and the Romans 8. And I just pray, Lord, that we depend on You for all things, that we'd express You in all ways, that You flesh out our flesh, that Your Spirit would continually testify to our spirit, and we believe it. We trust it, that we're a child of God. And You want to use us and live through us. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing in the lives of the individuals in this ministry, the leadership, the other countries we're affecting here from this message of grace. Use us in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name.